leading off with a big story of the day. Here's The Drive with Super Bowl 50 champion Derek Wolfe and D-Mac.
So, we go over the Broncos, what they got cooking today. I had a weird day. I was on the old coffee break show, which is fun. But then I bump over to the Broncos, Derek, and everything runs late except for today. So I get over there, and I'm late. They don't give you codes to the gate anymore, so you got to be there with the rest of the cattle to get in, or you're just like...
You're not getting in?
I was just like locked out. Hello? Hello? And I just...
Seat's taken.
After a while, I was just like, I'm just going to go get a coffee. Seat's taken.
Can't sit here.
Seat's taken. Best seat's taken.
What a good movie.
It's my younger son's favorite movie.
Yeah.
And we will just sit there and quote lines as it's happening for the entire movie. We'll just go through. And I always get it like slightly wrong. I always screw up, of course, Greenbow, Alabama. Sorry to disrupt your Black Panther party. Great line. Just like peas and carrots. Sometimes there's not enough rocks.
I don't know. Well, Jenny, she did them dirty, man.
She had a rough life, man.
Yeah.
She had that virus, though, in the 80s, unfortunately. Yep. Oh, man, I cry, man. I cry like a freaking baby. When he drops the letter from Forrest to Jenny's grave, come on. I get choked up thinking about that right now.
Man.
He's such a good boy, Jenny. You'd be so proud of him. I'm going to get choked up.
She smells like cigarettes, Lieutenant Dan. So good.
Lieutenant Dan, you have legs. That's a good one, man. Greenbow, Alabama! Then they meet each other in the reflection pool, and that's all I have to say about that.
Nobody heard him.
All right, man. I think you said it all.
How about when he drinks all them Dr. Peppers after being an All-American in Alabama?
Let's break something down. Can you imagine you are an All-American punt returner for the University of Alabama, and you don't play in the professional football?
Yeah, you go to war.
I mean, yeah, but like, wouldn't he be drafted? I mean, wouldn't he be selected? I mean, who was his agent? Were there no agents back in the day at Alabama?
I don't know. You think Bear Bryant would have had a connection for him, right?
I mean, you're so good that they're making signs for you to stop because you score touchdowns on the regular?
Yeah.
I mean, they don't try you out at wide receiver? They're not throwing you a jet sweep?
Think about it. He was an All-American, a war hero.
Celebrity ping pong player.
Unbelievable ping pong player.
And a first investor in Apple.
And a billionaire.
A billionaire. And he's on magazine covers for running across the country three times.
Said, I think I'll go home now.
Yeah, but hold on. He's that famous, but somehow he sits on a bench and nobody knows him in Savannah, Georgia?
Right.
Dude, he would be like the most famous person in America.
Oh, yeah. If he did all that.
If he did all that? Well, we don't remember him from his All-American days at Alabama?
Yeah.
Or being a war hero? Somehow we forget him? Who are you? I'm Forrest Gump. Who? Are you kidding me? People would be flocking to get his autograph.
Your mama sure does care about your education, boy.
we can get a Forrest Gump quote fest off here. Anyways, let me start with the Nuggets and relate it to the Broncos. So at the old Nuggets game last night, a lot of empty seats too, Derek.
Really?
You got the MVP. I mean, I know Houston stinks and everything, but...
Yeah, but it's still... Yeah, having the MVP should, like, just draw...
Oh, man, we're just not buying in.
Because the mainstream media does not give...
What?
The mainstream. Mainstream media does not give Jokic the respect he deserves.
Couldn't agree more.
He doesn't get the respect he deserves.
Why wouldn't that... He certainly does here locally. Why doesn't that translate to people wanting to go watch him?
I mean...
I don't quite get it, actually. I don't quite get it.
If I had a theory, I would say it's because you don't know what you're going to get from the Nuggets night in and night out.
You're going to get one of the best teams in the country. You're going to get the MVP.
You know what else Forrest Gump did? He taught Elvis how to dance. I'm sorry, the ADHD.
Yeah, tell me about it. Jeez, yeah.
So he did all that.
Yeah, but teaching Elvis how to dance was on the down low. I mean, he was just there for a night at the house. So, anyways, Jokic. Like, at what point did Jokic, has he ever had a bad or unentertaining game? Dude didn't even want to shoot last night. He was just passing in the first half. Scored 44 points in the first quarter, Derek, and Jokic took two shots. What am I talking about? They scored 74 points in the first half. He took two shots. I was there with Jake Shapiro. We were thinking, what's the over-under on total Jokic shots? I didn't know if Jokic was going to play in the second half. They were dominating so bad. But then, you know, Michael Malone wasn't liking the bench play. The Rockets, I think they got it to 19. They got it from like 33 or whatever to 19. And Malone started, rage timeouts. And he put the starters back in the game with 6 minutes to go. And then afterwards, like, what's going on? Well, Michael Malone explains.
Yeah, I mean, I was pleased with how we played in the first half. I was not pleased with how we played in the second half. It's not good enough. You know, we played one half on Monday night and got away with it. Tonight we played one half and got away with it. But, that's not going to be the case every night. That is, I said this last week, our greatest challenge is finding consistency. And from quarter to quarter, half to half, game to game. And it was disappointing to see how we performed in that second half tonight.
What does that sound like to you?
I don't know. I don't know how to take that.
Well,
I don't know what is his mindset in this? What's his mindset? I think his mindset is we need to win a championship, and that's he's going to do it his way. And I don't think who are we to question that?
I'm not questioning it.
I'm
not criticizing Michael Malone at all. I'm just telling you, I was surprised to be there. And he just, and then he said that, and I said, well, is this why the starters played? He goes, yeah, I didn't like how they were going.
Yeah, he wanted them to get more minutes.
He said we need to act like grown-ass men. They won by more than 20.
Who cares? That's not the point.
Well, I get it. But he called them, we got to play like grown-ass men in a game that they absolutely dominated from start to finish.
Because that shows you where his mindset is, that he knows, he didn't think they did everything right. They didn't do everything the way he wanted it done.
Clearly. He was upset.
Well, maybe it's. Do you think some of the starters were like, why are we in the game?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, so maybe that's why he was upset.
Because
he heard the players kind of chirping about it.
They wouldn't chirp about it. It would be more like sort of.
Body language.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Body language.
Yeah, you got to understand in the game on Monday against the same team, the same thing happened, Derek. Now, the blowout came in the third quarter, but they had a 20-point lead into the fourth. The starters just sat in their warm-ups. The entire game, there really was no difference score-wise between Monday and Wednesday. What he didn't like is how they were letting down.
Right.
And
I don't like that either. I think I said it earlier. I think that when you got your foot on somebody's throat, you keep it there.
So last night, it was funny because on Monday I asked him, is that a good thing to get rest? Does it accumulate? Yes, it does. And then two nights later, get back in the game. Forget about accumulating rest. You got to
Some reps. Go work your craft. You know what I mean? Because you don't get that kind of opportunity. It's like a practice, like a live practice.
So the players weren't griping about it, but it was clear they thought they were done because
they were winning by such a big margin.
Yeah, and you were done two nights ago under the same circumstances. So Aaron Gordon, who's great and wasn't bad-mouthing the coach at all, when asked about it, just took a pause. And just said, you got to be ready to go back in. Like, just, you know, didn't love it.
Well, didn't Jamal Murray hit a three and, like, untuck his shirt and kind of, like, was like, why am I even in here, are you not entertained,
Michael Malone.
What more do you need?
Michael Malone is sensing complacency from his team, and he won't allow it.
Yeah.
Now, juxtapose that with the good old Denver Broncos. And tell me what you would rather have. So on one hand, you may have a coach like, wow, what a loose wire. What's he thinking? Over-exaggeration. But would you rather have that? Where the expectation is how to win a championship? Or would you rather have Camp Huggy?
I'd rather have the expectation to win a championship.
As a player, you won?
And be held to a different kind of standard.
Even if you didn't like your coach as much. Even if it
was... Yeah, because winning makes everything... Everything is better when you win. It doesn't matter how hard it is in the moment.
So to Pelissero's report, by the way, did you see his half-assed apology, Tom Pelissero?
No.
Oh, my God. It was pathetic. It was...
Was it bad?
It was pathetic. Pathetic.
Was it like a gaslighting apology?
Soft, whiny... It was all somebody else.
Why is everybody mad at me?
Exactly. You didn't hear what I really said. Me blocks Scrappy Will. He blocked Scrappy Will.
Blocked him?
Blocked Scrappy Will.
Wow.
Yeah.
This guy, that guy's sensitive, man.
He's soft as Charmin, Tom Pelissero. Soft as Charmin. All this, you should see the diatribe that he put out there about this, that, the other thing. Why wasn't anybody listening to what I really said? Hey, dude, you said Hackett hasn't lost the room and Russ has. All right? That's what you said. You want to apologize or something, just bring that up. He didn't even bring that up. So listen, I'm not saying the guy's even lying. Just be ready to stand by your words, yo. I mean, if you believe it, say it. Say it with your chest out. Don't back off. Don't be surprised when you get a little heat there. But that's the difference right now. And by the way, Bednar, he's the same type of deal as Malone, really.
Yeah. He's not, they hold their players to a different kind of standard, to a higher standard than the Broncos are holding their players to a standard. Different. They're just like, winning is not an issue for the Broncos. They don't care. It's like they don't care if they win or lose.
Seems second. Here's Bednar after they lost 5-0 the other night.
I know.
They play the Sabres
deep
tonight.
Down.
Yeah. Here's Bednar.
All of it. I mean, you know,
asked.
What was the question?
He was asked what part of the game did you not like tonight? Like, what of your effort? What didn't you like about your team tonight?
All of it. I mean, you know, we had some hardworking guys, but when you're short, depleted roster, you can't have any passengers, and we just had too many of them tonight. Like, it was, I thought we had some good effort at times, but there was a lot of things in our checking side of our game that was effort-based, you know, and puck decisions, and so it just didn't look like we were engaged enough to go and win a tough road game against a good team.
All right, so that's your coach, Stanley Cup champion coach.
Too many passengers is what he said.
Too many passengers.
Waiting for somebody else to make a play.
He's calling out his players.
Yep.
That's your Stanley Cup champion coach.
Professionally, doing it professionally though.
Like, that's right.
Doing it in he's not doing it like in an attacking manner. You know what I mean? He's not attacking, but he's just like, look, like they did some nice things, but the effort just wasn't there. They weren't into the game. There's too many passengers. I get it.
Yeah, he's not sugarcoating it either though.
No.
He's not killing them, but he's not protecting them either.
But he's not doing what Hackett does and you know, makes it seem like everything's fine. It's going to click. It's
we just got to be better.
We just got to be better.
Just got to be better.
Well, how?
Malone.
Yeah, I mean, I was pleased with how we played in the first half. I was not pleased with how we played in the second half. It's not good enough. You know, we played one half on Monday night and got away with it. Tonight we played one half and got away with it.
See where I'm going? Here's Hackett from today.
You got to play the whole game. You gotta go full gas the whole game to win a championship, is what he's saying.
Yeah, the problem is the players know they don't have to do that to win regular season games.
Right now, yeah.
That's right.
But he wants to see them play like it's a championship game every game.
But that's the difference between teams that play 82-game schedules, Derek, and teams that play 17 games. There's no reason to not go all out in every single football game. Zero. Zero reasons. You got 17 of these bad boys.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. You got 82 if you're with the Avs right. or the Nuggets. I mean, it takes like 10
There's
games.
No time for complacency.
Oh, man. It takes forever to equal like one football. Probably the equivalent is what? 6-7 games, NBA, NHL to equal one NFL game.
How many
like
games
that.
Do they play in the NBA?
NBA is 82.
82 games. Yeah.
Same in hockey. 162 in baseball.
Oh.
Yeah, buddy. It's a different feeling. So you actually can get away with not playing a full 48 minutes. And blah, 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 blah. But it's a bad trend, and they want to stop it at the quick. Meanwhile, Hackett today.
We talk about him. We make sure.
This is an interesting response. This is about penalties. Because you know the Broncos lead the league in penalties.
Yep.
And when you
that is a direct correlation to the coach.
All right. So here's how Hackett deals with it.
We talk about them. We make sure, it's an emotional game. The guys are going out there. They're competing as hard as they possibly can in the right way, the legal way. And sometimes things happen. You know, people get chippy at times, and we don't want them to lose their dog within them. But we have to be sure we constrain ourselves as much as we possibly can.
You can't hear the difference. You can't hear how soft it is compared from that coach to the other two coaches. Is it not painfully obvious?
Yeah. He's talking about Mike Purcell's penalty. That's the only penalty he's talking about. He's not talking about all the offsides and the holding calls or the pass interference calls or the calls that are like misalignments, you know what I'm saying, for mm-hmm. the offense, stuff like that. Stuff that's instead of having a third and five, you have a third and 15, stuff like that. You know, he's not talking about that. He's talking about a guy making a mistake in a game they weren't going to win.
I was watching Hackett at practice today.
Was he hugging people?
He doesn't know what to do with himself. A lot of head coaches don't.
What's the energy like out there?
It's all right.
What do you mean it's all right?
It's whatever, man.
Are they just going? Are they just punching the clock?
Yeah. I don't know, man. I mean,
that makes it no fun.
I mean, the guys are in a light mood. You know, it was a warm day, man. It was a nice day. It's December 1st. Yeah, it was like
60
nice.
Degrees.
Yeah, it was really nice. And he's sitting there twirling his whistle around, doesn't know where to go. You know, what he really should do in the beginning of stretch, in all honesty, he should come over and talk to the media people. Just, you know, there's nothing else going on. You don't need to talk to anybody. Lawrence Stretch, come over and say hi.
He'll go over there and screw that up.
But he hasn't come over. Foxy used to do it all the time. And it was great, man. We got to know Foxy a little bit. He got to know. We didn't even talk about football. You just talk about whatever. But when you're wound tight, which he is, so he's you know, and then I see Mark Thews coming up, and I'm standing next to Andrew Mason. Mark Thews is a long time. Mark is a fascinating guy. I don't know if you know Mark at all. Do you have a relationship with Mark? Do you even know who he is? You don't even know who Mark Thews is? He was
no, there. I do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Anyways, Mark is a logistics guy, office guy.
Yes, I know Mark.
And Mark was Josh McDaniel's best friend. Which was amazing when Josh got bounced that Mark didn't go with him. But Mark is just a really talented guy just on his own. And they didn't hold his relationship with Josh against him. And Mark deals with logistics and business things. He's been part of coaches' interviews in the past.
Yeah.
Mark is a well-established insider.
Oh, yeah, in that building, yeah.
But here's what's crazy
held in
about
high regard.
Did you know he was a Division I shortstop?
Really?
Yes, at Miami of Ohio.
I think he did, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did tell me that because the Cincinnati Miami of Ohio connection,
right.
Yeah.
So Mark Hughes, ridiculously as an office guy, has a tremendous arm. He does. He's a shorter guy, but he has a fantastic arm. He's a baseball player.
Laser rocket.
So he comes out. He can throw every single warm-up throw you can imagine to NFL receivers at the right height, pace, location. He can do it. That's there's not many coaches that can actually do that. So Mark comes from his office job and comes out to help out, warm up the wide receivers every single day.
He probably likes it.
Of course. Are you kidding me? Yeah, of course he does.
Likes it, yeah.
Whose dream is not to be able to just walk out there and throw some passes around? So here comes Mark out on the field. Hackett's got nothing to do. And I'm there next to Mason. I go, watch this. Because Hackett's got nothing to do. I go, watch. He's going to just start chatting up Mark as Mark comes out here. This has got nothing to say, but watch. He'll chat him up. Derek, and sure enough, here comes. Mark's just going out to the wide receivers, dude. Throwing the passes. Hackett, nothing to say, just starts chatting up Mark, you know. We've got a guy, Derek, we've got a coach who doesn't know what to do or where to go.
Well, you could tell.
He's got nothing.
I mean, you could tell. In the
He's looking for somebody to talk to.
Everybody hates me.
Ridiculous.
Everybody used to love me, and then we started playing real football, and now it's...
Why does everybody hate me?
Yeah.
Remember when we were chugging beers at the Nuggets games? Remember those days?
Pounding on drums. We're going to score points.
We're going to score a lot of points. What happened to those days? What would Hackett's reaction be if he went to a Nuggets game and they put him up on the Jumbotron?
They would boo him. They would. Ruthless.
What would happen if Russ got to a Nuggets game or something?
They might boo him.
I mean, it wasn't that long ago, yo. You remember Russ sitting center court with those... So Kroenke's got front row centers, okay? Kroenke. Four of them. So Russ and Sierra went to a game, Derek. They made sure there were...
Court side, you're talking about.
Center court. Feet are on the floor. You are...
Those are expensive.
You can't get them. It's not even expensive. You can't get them. There are four seats that are owned by the Kroenkes. That's it. They just give them out. You can't buy them.
Oh, so you got to know a guy.
You got to know a guy. So this is who Russ and Sierra were in the beginning. Not only did they have their two seats, they had security off to the side. They kept an empty seat to their right and their left.
Oh, so they took four seats for two of them.
Didn't matter at the time. At the time, the crowd didn't matter.
No.
Everybody loved it. Everybody thought it was amazing.
Not so much anymore.
Fast forward a few months. All right, we have the injury report for the Ravens and for the Broncos. All right, we can give you that. Get your reaction, 303-713-1043. Do you like it? Do you like how Malone is? Do you think he's freaking out?
I like it.
This is The Drive on The Fan.
You're listening to The Drive with Super Bowl 50 champion Derek Wolfe and D-Mac on Denver's sports station, 1043 The Fan.
Oh, what you got? You got... Blue Eyed Soul. Fallen Oates from Philadelphia. And Oates lives in Aspen. I have no idea where Hall lives.
Where the beer flows like wine.
Oh, I'm telling you, Pitkin County. I think it's the prettiest place in Colorado, Pitkin County, my man. It's got everything.
Really?
Goose blinds, ski mountains, fly fishing.
Good hunting.
Ridiculous.
Good luck getting a tag up there.
Loose. Hey, I didn't say it was cheap. I got to get you climbing up a 14er sometime.
I'll do it.
Got to get that little project going.
I'll do it.
I bet you would love it. In fact, you would definitely love it.
Yeah. This is the thing about me. I love to torture myself physically. So.
Okay. Well, you make you suffer a little bit.
Yeah.
Would you be more entertained climbing up a mountain knowing people died on the mountain or people haven't died on the mountain?
Knowing that they've died.
All right. Got a perfect place for you.
Where? Where are people dying?
Oh, up in Aspen.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
From what?
Loose rock, falling off mountains, stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because that's what makes it so pretty up there. Because of the geological, the rocks, the way it is. It's loose. And so because it's loose, you have some really... You know, incredible dramatic peaks, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
It's
that slate rock.
That's exactly right. Super loose stuff. Makes it incredibly dangerous. You
gotta have good boots.
Yeah, you do. But you can do every 14er in the state without a rope. You can do every single one without a rope. Just a little bit of a, you know.
A little low on oxygen up there.
Oh, yeah. A little puckering, too. Little moments of, you know, don't slip.
Little adrenaline rush.
We'll get you going.
I like that.
I'll get you up there, man. Haven't done one in a little bit, so. I still got like 24 more to do. It's crazy in this state. I've done 30, but there's 54, 55, 14ers.
Wasn't there like a 14-year-old that did it? Did them all?
Oh, yeah. There's it's Colorado. There's ridiculous superhuman.
Rock climbers.
I mean, do it in the winter. Do it on skis. Aaron Ralston had to chew his arm off. He's done it with like one arm. You know, the guy that was in that movie about getting stuck in the cave.
And he cut his arm off with a pocket
knife? Yeah, he's from Aspen. Aaron Ralston. I know him. He's, you know, he's done all the 14ers with like one arm in the winter. Stupid stuff.
It's pretty cool.
Oh, no, it's unbelievable. It's crazy people.
Yeah, that story is wild.
Aaron's story is... Maybe we can hit him up sometime.
Yeah, we should talk to him.
Yeah, I've known him throughout the years. Incredible story. And then they made a movie out of it, which was, you know, pretty cool. All right, here's my guy, Dwayne Stooks. I wasn't there today. I know he's my best friend. But what do you think Stooksy is talking about this week? Are we talking about special teams?
You smile when you get that punt that the Carolina Panthers returner fumbled, right? You smile when you get the onside kick, and then when you get the kickoff return from the 50-yard line, you're seeing Jalen, he's making these cuts, and you're like, oh, man, he's about to score. And then he doesn't protect the ball, and he fumbles it, and then you're on the sideline kind of deflated because you knew the opportunity that was there to provide positive field position for our offense. So, yes, the inconsistencies of our play does bother me a lot. We have to get to a point where we're playing consistent on all six phases.
Dude, it's week 12, yo. It's done. He's talking about inconsistency in week 12. Hey, man, you got Jalen Virgil. Didn't know to hold on to the bread after he got to the 40-yard line, man. You're home. Just go down. You're in your home.
Well, Stooks admitted weeks ago that this isn't the crew out there that he wants.
Oh, my God. Enough. You want to talk about a coach who gives you excuse after excuse, week after week. Holy cow. My man Stooks.
He's like, I promise I'm a good coach.
He's not, though, man. I mean, you haven't.
Well, that's the thing about a special teams coach. You're supposed to be able to take anybody on that roster and make them a good special teams player.
Oh, my God. It's not that hard. It's not getting through there, coach. What are we in special teams? 32nd in kickoff return average. 28th in field goal percentage. Brandon, oh my goodness, that's not good. 18th. You're in Colorado, Derek. The highest elevation. You're 18th in punting. Dude, I mean, we're terrible.
Not like it doesn't get enough practice.
Yeah, exactly. Our special teams is a disaster, man. And you're Coach Stooks, you're talking about this was good, that was good, and now I sit and I cry on the sideline because this is bad. I'm sorry, Coach. After a while, it's you. I forgot about that sequence. You're right about that. Like, you know, and don't forget, Mike did get a penalty on freaking field goal block.
Yeah.
You got Virgil, not Montrell Washington, another young guy trying to stay on the team, right? So what? You got the ball under the 40. Who cares? You're fumbling the ball. Just let the ball go through the freaking end zone, start on the 25, and let's just move the ball. Oh, my God.
Hopefully not be able to get a returner and just...
By the way, listen...
6 years, seven years.
Are you surprised that 28th in field goal percentage, man, for Brandon? It's a little surprising, huh?
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of people are talking about that, you know?
What do you think about that?
I don't know. You never know, man.
Is that something or not? It's weird, man. I actually did not know it was that bad.
It is kind of weird. It's not. It's very not like him to be like that, you know. So
I mean, don't forget, we barely get chances to actually put points on the board.
Yeah, so when we get them, we got to take advantage of it big time.
28th. Okay.
How come I didn't get that sheet?
I think you did get it. I don't know.
You got it. Thanks a lot, KJ.
Got it a couple days ago. You got to print a new one. You got to save.
Oh, I probably did get it.
You got to save the paper. Yeah, look at KJ. He's looking at you.
He's looking at me like, hey, bud.
Don't throw him under the bus there.
He's like, hey, bud.
Yeah. Don't
keep it up.
Don't.
Hey, you want a new one?
Hey. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Prima Donna over here needs
Prima Donna.
Can't just hold on to it. Don't go all Simmons.
Sorry, I don't carry a, what is that, a binder?
Sorry, I had to nerd out and keep the papers that KJ gives me.
If it don't fit in the fanny, it ain't coming.
Just leave that statement out there. Don't call Simmons on Kliss on KJ.
I would never yell at KJ.
Thank you. Plus,
I heard
current predicament with the smoothie.
Oh, I got a smoothie. There you go.
Yeah.
I heard Simmons try to make Kliss feel bad about himself, too.
Wait, what did he say?
Nobody here likes you.
That's so elementary. You don't have any friends. No one likes you.
Which is definitely not true, by the way.
I like Kliss.
Of course.
I always like Kliss.
Here's what's funny, too. There's players that hate reporters, and the players will tell the other players how bad the reporters are. All the football players are their own individual people. They'll make their own judgments. Yeah. But you'll sit there if a guy is telling you, oh, this guy's bad. You'll be like, yeah, he's bad. But my experience, Derek, is that everybody thinks for themselves. I have never run into one player who is that influenced by another player, period, about how they feel about you. They don't care.
No.
They don't. They'll judge you individually. Oh, my God. I can't talk to a reporter because Justin doesn't like him. I better hate that guy.
Yeah, nobody's going to.
It's stupid. It doesn't work like that.
That's not how it goes.
But it does not stop the players from bitching about reporters to other players. They do that all the time, which is a weird thing to do. Don't like that guy.
It happens a lot.
You know what teams?
Oh, don't talk to him. Be careful with this guy, that guy.
Yeah, be careful. Be careful with him. Don't trust him. Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, thanks for the heads up.
You know whose advice I took when it came to media? Patrick Smyth. Patrick Smyth told me it was okay to talk to somebody, I was like,
okay. That's right.
He never, like, I don't remember anybody that was in that locker room, as far as media goes, Patrick ever being like, hey, be careful with this guy, be careful with that guy. You know?
Be careful.
Like, don't say this, be careful what you say. Like,
right. Well, there was one guy. There was one guy. I actually got a big beef with him, but we kind of made up. We definitely made up.
Who?
Mike Silver. Mike Silver was tricky. We've made up. But Mike Silver back in the day was he got the information. Mike Silver got the information. He did not make stuff up. He got it.
Yeah.
But, you know, that was like, for a minute, you got to be careful. Mm-hmm. You think you're off the record.
That's the number one thing that they tell you when you come in the league. You're never off the record.
Never.
Never.
Don't trust anybody.
He's like, you see these phones? You can record everything on these phones. I can't tell you how many times a guy would come and be like, hey, off the record. And I'd look at his phone and I'd be, I'll record. I'm like, yeah, off the record, huh?
No such thing, dude.
No.
No such thing.
Well, that was like, I always disagreed with the reporters in the locker room after practice. After a game, it's one thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But after practice every day, like, come on, man. Like, at some point, yeah, you're just reaching for stories at that point. And you can't, like, that's like our home away from home, you know? Like, you're in my home. No, it's like,
I'd be fine with it. Actually, you know, during COVID, I thought it was actually great. So here's the way.
Oh, I loved it.
With COVID, you just request guys. They'd come out. You could talk to them on the field, social distance. They'd bring out whoever you wanted to bring out. The guys were pretty.
And that's how it should be. You still have access to them. You just don't need to. You don't need to access me in the right when I get out of the shower.
Yeah. Who do you guys want today? We'll take this guy, that guy, and the other guy. That is the way it happens with the Nuggets too. Right now. Like, it's, you know, after a game's over, who do you want? They bring them out. If you want to go in the locker room, you can. Oh, I got a great one, too. I got a, when an athlete does something that you don't expect, how awesome is it? We may have a new little superhero here in Denver. Details next.
It's The Drive with Super Bowl 50 champion Derek Wolfe and D-Mac on Denver's sports station, 104.3 The Fan.
Vlatko Chanchar. Dude, this was awesome last night during the game.
Vlatko's off to the races. And he pushed it away. Oh, that was nearly the free throw line.
Marlo and Hastings there. Dude, Derek. Just every now and then you go to a sporting event and you just see something you don't think you'd ever see. I never thought I would see Vlatko rise up from just inside of the free throw line, a Dr. J. Michael Jordan-esque dunk in game. It's just it was one of those moments of like, what just happened here? So after the game, we talked to Vlatko. He's the sweetest guy from Slovenia, 25 years old. There's only like 3 Slovenians actively in the NBA right now. And he goes, I thought I was going to get blocked. He thought Kenyon Martin Jr., how about that for a twist, was going to block him.
Kenyon Martin.
Kenyon, and this is Kenyon Martin's kid.
Bearcat.
That's right. That's right. So his kid, Kenyon Martin Jr., is on, it's not even that close to him. But Vlatko thought he was about to get blocked, so he just jumped from the free throw line.
And sailed.
It was ridiculous. Now, he is 6'11", and he's got a ridiculous wingspan, but he just looks like kind of a, you know, Vlatko. You know, it's Vlatko. He's the guy that just sat at the end of the bench all year last year. He's
a little did you know he can take it home from the half court or from the foul line.
Nobody knew. You know what? Who else didn't know? Vlatko! Because he admitted he'd never tried that before.
He just did it.
He just did it. He said he was going to lay it up. He was just going to lay it up. But at the last second, he realized. So he goes up like with his hand, you know, out.
Like this?
Yep.
Like he's going to just
lay
it in.
And then at the last second, boom.
Boom. Hammers it in.
Well, yeah. I mean, put it in. Yeah, whatever. It was a dunk.
He set it in there.
So afterwards, everybody's just laughing. He's laughing. Everybody's laughing. Except Michael Malone, who was just, you know, all pissed off about everything. And said the team need to be grown-ass men.
Yeah, because he wants them to play at a championship level for the whole game. He doesn't want to see one good half. He wants to see a whole game.
Have you ever done something on the field that you didn't actually know you could do and it ended up happening?
Yeah.
Did you ever have one? What'd you do?
Well, you know that the thing I posted yesterday, or on the 29th. It was on the
29th. Patriots game? Yeah.
Yeah, that sack. I threw the guard and the tackle on the ground, and then, like, I didn't think I could do that.
So how'd you do it?
I don't know. I just did it. You just do it. You don't think.
You don't think.
You just do it. It just happens. And that's the great part about sports, man. Like, the less you think and the more you get. That's why practice is so important. Like, doing stuff like that in practice, you know. But then, like, the way it happened.
The less you think about it.
Well, because I threw them both on the ground, and then I just barely got Tom Brady's jersey. And I, like, pulled him down, and then I had to, like, let go because I was going to fall and I wasn't going to be able to bring him down. So I let go and went to his legs.
So what happens when you're really thinking about things then?
Then you make mistakes.
Yeah.
Overthinking.
Is that what's going on right now?
The worst thing that can happen on the field.
You think that's what's happening right now?
Probably. I mean, I don't know. I think it's just bad coaching, honestly. Bad coaching, and they don't have the right players out there.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have
bad.
They have a lot of injuries.
You know, probably,
there's a lot of excuses, but it all stems from bad coaching.
And it probably does lead to overthinking. All of that probably actually does lead to, I can't make a mistake.
Well, yeah, because then you're like, then you got guys out there that are afraid to mess up because this is their shot.
Yeah.
So then they are thinking.
I love baseball. And I was never the best player on a team, but I was always like the third or fourth best guy. You know, somebody like that. But the best guy on our high school team was a lefty, John Brum. Great dude. Sweet swing. Just amazing. And I went up to him. I mean, we'd played baseball together for years and years and years. Finally, it's senior year, and I was one of those guys. I was thinking about freaking everything. Where are my hands? Where are my feet? Hips? Thinking, reading videos, the whole thing. I go up to John Brum, best hitter by a mile. I mean, just best hitter on the team, one of the better hitters in the state, just one of those guys. I go, John, how do you do it? I don't know.
I just do it.
And he was not able to explain how he was so good at what he did.
Yeah, he just was good.
Some
people are just good.
The problem was he wasn't very motivated either. So he just didn't pursue it, and he didn't take it all that seriously. But he could do it.
Well, that's the great part about sports, right? Because you can think how many – you're talking about a guy from high school, right?
High school, yeah.
Everybody that's listening out there knows a guy in high school that was, like, unbelievable.
Right.
But he just didn't try hard.
Right.
Right? So, like, he never excelled past the high school level. He peaked in high school and then never went on to do anything else.
Right.
But if you could take that talent and put effort with it and hard work and dedication and commitment.
Right.
And you can get something special can happen, man. You could be limited talent even with the hard work and make it.
You can go further than you should. You'll end up at some.
Yeah.
It'll stop at some point. Because eventually you just run into those people who have that talent. And that
work ethic. Yeah. It's in the league, too. There's guys that have unbelievable talent, but they don't want to work.
Can I tell you just a messed up story, another crazy one that I saw today out there? I got a really fun, messed up story about guys just being ridiculous athletes that you just don't even think about. But every now and then it shows. I'll give that to you, football at four next.
What's up, guys? Derek Wolf here. If you're trying to plan out your holiday feast this year, I've got the plan for you. Bison meat. For my friends at Great Range Premium Bison. Bison meat will add a unique flavor to everything from your holiday meals to your tailgate chili, and it's healthier than other red meats too. It's flavorful, clean, and hearty, with some nice, sweet-tasting undertones. I'm telling you guys, once you try it, you'll be hooked. Plus, you can check out tons of awesome recipes at greatrangebison.com. So pick some up today at your local grocery store. Trust me, you'll love the taste of Great Range Premium Bison this holiday season.